Next on BYUSN, Cougar football 10-2 and appears to be outside the college football playoff conversation. But should the Cougars be a bubble team? We'll compare BYU's resume to the other playoff bubble teams. And some notable BYU players entered the transfer portal yesterday. We'll discuss what it means for BYU moving forward.
Blaine Fowler joins the program to discuss the college football playoff rankings, the transfer portal, and a look ahead to National Signing Day tomorrow. Oh, by the way. And are we buying Yegor Devin as the potential number one overall pick in the draft? Who's saying what?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, December 3rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is very busy studying the history of BYU basketball and their NCAA tournament history, Jerem Jordan.
Ball night in Providence, Rhode Island, in the same venue for BYU where Danny Ainge and the Cougs in 1981 defeated Princeton, and one of the best wins ever, demolished UCLA in the second round. Footage from said night in 1981. Amica Mutual Pavilion used to be the Providence Civic Center. Ainge had 37 against the Bruins.
Wow.
BYU's back in that venue, which is pretty cool. Some history. Fun storyline with John Linehan. No, not that guy. The assistant coach on BYU's team who played at Providence, was the all-time steals leader for the Friars, which is pretty cool. So first non-conference Eastern time zone true road game. I know I just said a lot
there. It's been a minute.
Since 2017 at Princeton. So big night tonight on FS1 and BYU Radio for the Hoopsters.
Yeah, not a well-known fact that that's where BYU started their magical 1981 run.
Pretty cool.
A return. Could it mean or in some way correlate to special things potentially this season?
What?
All rise and shout. Lots to discuss in What's Trending. No question. Several national pundits are pointing at BYU's resume.
I mean, the SMU win continues to look incredible.
Of course, Kansas State's had a great season.
The committee valued BYU, and I think they still value BYU.
By BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. It's Tuesday night. It's college football season. BYU has been in the college football playoff conversation and rankings for the duration of every single one of those poll releases to date this year. They will be in the top 20 again tonight. Question is, where? And should it be better than what BYU we think will be? So let's discuss, Jerem. Is BYU's college football playoff resume better than it's getting credit for? We're going to play the blind resume game. And Let us make this disclaimer. You and I discussed this morning. Yeah. Look, we're well aware that BYU is very much on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
They're not even on the bubble right now with the likes of Ole Miss and Alabama and South Carolina and Miami.
I think they should be on the bubble, though.
That is the conversation.
I think they should be in the bubble because you look at, obviously, 10-2. You look at a top 10 win in SMU. They're going to be in the top 10 tonight. Strength of schedule is 44. That's better than the likes of Oregon, Notre Dame, even SMU, Indiana, Boise State, of course.
What?
Arizona State, Miami, Iowa State.
Wait, BYU's strength of schedule is not the weakest of any of this bunch, Jerem?
Wait, what? Yeah, BYU should be on the bubble. They're off the bubble, and I think that's where it's a little...
It's weird.
...annoying, where it's like, wait, what? And it has everything to do, Spence, with what I said yesterday, which is it's not that BYU lost to, it's when they lost to.
The timing of it.
Yes. If BYU lost to, you sprinkled one in September, one in October, and BYU's coming in hot at 10-2, having won, you know, four or whatever, including Arizona State, now you're talking. But yeah, ultimately it's tough because BYU's not going to be in the playoff and they're probably not even on the bubble.
Why are they not on the bubble? You look at all of these resumes that we're about to show you and you answer the question.
Yeah.
Why is BYU not in the bubble conversation? Our production crew has put together a number of graphics that will compare BYU's resume with three other notable teams currently in the playoff conversation that are on the bubble or maybe in. We have to decide which resume is BYU's and which team has the best resume without knowing which team is which. So, these are your blind resumes, number one group. Again, BYU's in here somewhere. We haven't been told, and they're compared to three other teams. So this features games against teams in the Power Four Conference that are 500 or better. Games against ranked opponents.
Is that, Colton, is that at the time or AP poll this week?
Games with featuring 8-plus win opponents.
Okay. CFP rankings. Okay.
Strength of schedule.
And BYU is one of these. I would think that BYU is team two.
Yes. I believe.
I know BYU is team two because of their 44 and
36. Strength of schedule, unless it's changed.
Yeah.
Like dramatically, which it shouldn't have. So. We believe BYU is team number two, but look at this.
Ole Miss is team three. Yeah, I'm just looking at the strength of scheduling. Indiana would be
team four? Is that
that's Indiana.
So Indiana's 0-1 against ranked foes compared
Ohio
to
State.
BYU, who is 2-1.
And they haven't beaten a single team that won eight games. Yet they're, because they have one loss, they're up there. And then team one, I can just look at, is Penn State.
Because they passed the eye test, Jerem, of course. Yeah. Because they've been so dominant and Indiana passes the eye test. Forget their resume.
Yeah, there you go.
Indiana, number 10. Like, everybody thinks they're in, Jerem. They're just in.
Because one loss. And they didn't even really compete with Ohio State. What we've learned from this committee is that it doesn't really matter who you played or who you beat. It's just that you're either Indiana and you win big except for the one game.
But like they don't have a quote-unquote bad loss.
Right. Or you do it... Boise State did, and you have a great loss. Now, I actually like Ole Miss's resume a lot.
I don't mind. I think Ole Miss deserves to be in over Alabama.
They've beaten Georgia and South Carolina.
I think they deserve to be in over Alabama, but Ole Miss has three losses. They lost to Kentucky.
Why? That's a bad loss.
Why is
4-8?
Tell me, is the Kentucky loss by Ole Miss worse than BYU's loss to Kansas? It might be.
Yes, because Kansas had two notable wins.
Kentucky,
and Iowa State.
The Kentucky's peak was beating Ole Miss. I think they're a four-win team. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's do the next one.
Wow.
So we know what BYU's resume is, right? So BYU would be team one.
Okay.
One here.
Now we have a graphic. Again,
no,
four teams.
Sorry. They're not team one.
Offensive efficiency, changed, yeah. Defensive efficiency, ranked wins on this graphic, and losses against teams that are not ranked. So which is BYU here, Jerem?
I think it's team two. No, BYU's probably team one. Yeah, I think BYU's team one.
Is it? It's team one because the Kansas State win should still count as a ranked win until tonight.
Yes.
So currently speaking, we believe BYU is team one, but...
BYU's okay. team one. As
so
for the others...
Offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. The Cougars are not as good as teams two and three. But they do have two more ranked wins than team four.
Miami's team four, I believe, because they're the number one offense.
And teams three and four both have multiple losses to teams that are not ranked. Okay? BYU will finish the season with one loss to an unranked team.
It'll Alabama's be team three, and I think Tennessee is team two.
Okay, reveal. Yes, BYU team one, okay? Took a second, but you got there, Jerem. Look at BYU's resume compared to Miami. Why is Miami so squarely on the bubble?
It's a big fat donut.
One reason.
The ranked wins.
I'll give you one reason.
Cam Warren?
Their quarterback.
Yeah.
They have a shiny, bright star
be a Heisman
at quarterback.
Finalist.
But the team, are we rewarding an individual because he's a Heisman candidate, or are we rewarding the team?
Yeah. Losses versus not ranked, right? Yeah. How about, it's not so bad to have one, right? But you look at some of these teams like right now, I would say like if they, you know, we'll find out tonight that Miami and Tennessee would be in the bracket. Like why isn't BYU, BYU's ranked wins are not being valued. Now, ranked wins is going to change tonight because Kansas State is not going to be ranked anymore. They're not going to be in the top 25. So that's going to go down to one for BYU, unfortunately.
BYU fans keep asking me, Spencer, why do you invest so much in this? Why do you care? BYU should have just beaten Kansas. Like let it go.
Well, it's my day job.
Let it go. Yeah, let it go. Why does it bother you so much? BYU controlled their destiny, and they, in the words of Deion Sanders, they fumbled it. It's like, because
there were a bunch
I want BYU Saturday. To be treated fairly like the rest of the other bubble teams. That's why I care. It bugs me that BYU's not in the bubble conversation. I know that they controlled their own destiny.
We do love being bugged. About being unfairly treated. Well, it feels like it happens a lot.
I mean, why do I care? Do you not want BYU to be treated fair and equally based on what they've done on the field with their resume?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, third graphic.
Okay.
Okay, this one features, again, four teams. BYU is one of them. Ranked wins, top 10 wins, wins versus power fours.
BYU's team three.
And ranked losses. BYU has one top 10 win.
Yeah, BYU's team
so
three.
So BYU should be team three.
How about wins versus power fours? Just we haven't thought about that just straight up. Eight.
BYU's got 7-2 plus wins SMU. Against Power 4 competition. But the Big
12's weak, Spencer.
This one's harder to quantify who's who in the other teams.
I have no idea, other than BYU, who these teams are. Maybe South Carolina in there somewhere.
South Carolina could be team one here.
Yep. They've got some quality.
They could be team one.
I do not know about the other. Is SMU in there somewhere?
There's no Boise State, right? Because there's no Boise State here. Because they don't have a top 10 win. They don't have two ranked wins. Yeah.
I'm genuinely fooled on this one, other than BYU.
I think South Carolina.
Maybe South Carolina.
Yeah, okay. South Carolina's team one.
Georgia and Ohio State.
Ranked losses. Georgia, yeah, Georgia should be in. Like, Georgia's awesome.
Look at South Carolina's resume.
I know they struggled with Georgia Tech, but put them in. State's going to be in. They're too big. Like, honestly, you could just look at brands and just go, oh, two losses versus two losses. Or three. Nope, you're in. Like, that's how it's going to be. South Carolina is coming in real hot. Like,
they're playing their best football this season.
Tonight, they're either barely in or barely out tonight.
Well, people are like, how did they lose to crappy LSU? Their quarterback got injured early in that
game. Is LSU crappy? They're 8-4.
LSU beat them because South Carolina's star quarterback was injured early in that game.
Yeah, I wouldn't call LSU crappy. They're 8-4.
Wow.
Crappy to me is 6-6.
Listen, we're not trying to say BYU deserves being over Ohio State.
No,
and
it's just a comp. But South Carolina doesn't have a top 10 win, but
BYU's
they have three
in the conversation with South Carolina because BYU's beaten two more Power Fours, and they only have one fewer ranked win. And BYU's got a top 10 win.
Yeah, BYU has a top 10 win. That's the best thing about BYU's resume, obviously.
A road top 10 win.
Yeah.
It's SMU's only loss. So if SMU wins the ACC and Arizona State wins the Big 12, you're looking at BYU having beaten the ACC champ, and then one of the two losses came against the eventual Big 12 champion.
Yeah. And how about over the weekend, the conversation from the Texas Tech head coach, Joey McGuire, about all the new teams are winning the new leagues? So Oregon, Pac-12, winning the Big Ten, at least for now,
yep.
Right? SMU as an American team with the ACC. Right now, Arizona State is in the
favorite
mix for
the
Big
12.
A former Pac-12 team.
And Texas leading the SEC.
And Texas
coming from the
SEC.
Big 12.
So he pointed all four of those out, and I was like, man, that's really interesting. Wow. That was a fun exercise. And hopefully that showed you, because we didn't know which resumes were going to be what.
Why BYU deserves to be on the bubble.
Just on the bubble.
Yes.
I think they deserve to be off the bubble, I guess is what we're actually saying, right? On the bubble, but just out.
They need to be in the conversation.
Like in the top four teams out.
BYU's going to show up.
No, they're not even close.
BYU's going to show up.
They should be close.
Probably number 18 tonight. At best, 17. If they drop Clemson that much. But I don't think they'll drop Clemson because they lost to number 15, South Carolina.
Yeah. Don't lose. And it was close. Don't lose two of three at the end.
True.
It's tough.
It's timing.
Yeah.
Timing. Like the
timing matters. There's a great coach talk at a Devo by Dallin H. Oakes about the Lord's timing.
Sure.
Timing matters.
The optics are not great for BYU because they struggled late in the season.
Yeah, even though they were close games.
What is a struggle? A close loss against the best team in the Big 12 right now at their place.
Losers talk about margin. I've said
it
before. But
and then Kansas gets on a heater and you fall just like Iowa State and Colorado did. The other two 7-2 teams in the Big 12. They lost to the same Kansas team that BYU did.
Yeah, bummer.
Interesting.
We'll keep an eye on that tonight on the Select Show on ESPN 7 Eastern. Okay, BYU wide receiver Cody Apps, safety Micah Harper, tight end Jackson Bowers, and running back Miles Davis have entered the transfer portal. What's your reaction to these four jumping to the portal?
I understand every one of them and why they opted to do this, because they're looking for an opportunity to cash in and play. Specifically, the graduate
transfers. Is that a pun intended with cash in?
No.
Okay.
But if it turns out to be that way, good for them. But they're trying to find an opportunity to get on the field as graduate transfers. This is the last go-around for Cody Epps, Micah Harper, and Miles Davis. Jackson Bowers has more time.
He has 3 years.
He never found his true fit as a BYU tight end. It is interesting because next year it's like, well, it seems like that room is wide open, right?
Yes. Reiner Swanson's going on a mission to Africa.
And Matavatase is graduating.
Yes.
So it's Ethan Erickson and then Jackson Bowers probably.
But among the guys who have played.
Sure. Yes. You would think that the depth chart right now would be, maybe it might be Jackson Bauer's number one because Ethan Erickson's out with a season-ending injury. He's recovering from surgery.
Yeah.
So going into spring ball, I thought Jackson was going to be the guy.
That one hurts the most. Like, Micah Harper wasn't playing a ton. Cody Epps was hurt.
Injured again and couldn't get on the field, couldn't stay on the field.
Miles Davis kind of buried number three there, wasn't getting a lot of reps. So I understand those guys seeking an opportunity there. The Bowers one hurts because this is a top 300 ESPN guy. Never kind of found his fit. Like, could he have sort of gained weight and been a tackle and maybe he's got an NFL potential there?
I know there are some
coaches
on this.
That conversation was had.
Yes, there are some coaches on the staff that feel like that was his path to the NFL.
And he came in, we were excited. And let's be honest, the tight end not used a ton in the BYU offense. A lot of conversation on Twitter about that, .. A lot of history with the tight ends here. Yeah, that one's a bummer. Was hoping for a bright future for Jackson Bowers.
Well, and look at, you think about a guy like Dallin Holker. You know?
Dallin showed us stuff where when he left, it was a bummer. And I know there was like, there's always like kind of locker room fits conversation with guys that don't always become public or whatever. But like Dallin made it to the NFL. He's a good player. That was a bummer when he left from an on-the-field standpoint.
The tight end is not heavily used right now in this version of the BYU offense.
It's not. Yeah. We thought Keanu Hill not being used to a great degree was a big surprise. I thought he would be like this top three weapon in the BYU offense.
Tabatasse having more touchdown catches than Keanu Hill shocks me.
Did Keanu have a single one?
He had one against Wyoming.
He had one against Wyoming?
Yeah.
He dominates Wyoming.
He had the two-point conversion catch big against SMU.
That was huge. Yeah, so Jackson Bowers, that's a bummer. That one hurts. Yeah.
The other three, get it. You want to play. It's your final year.
You want to have PT.
You want to be on the field.
Yeah, and none of these four were, like, playing a ton, and it's a massive loss for me what they were doing this year. But, obviously, they contributed to the program in different ways throughout the last couple of years. So, best of luck to these guys.
Absolutely. We hope that they ball out wherever they go.
Yeah.
We love these guys. That's what hurts as well.
These are
great dudes.
And they're kooks for life, no matter where they go.
Wherever they go.
Unless they go to Utah.
Then we have to have a conversation.
I'm just joking.
All right, football timeout because basketball is back in it tonight. As we pointed out, top of the show, BYU on the East Coast at Providence, Big 12 versus Big East battle. Jerem, straight up, should BYU win this game, even though it is a long road trip, short turnaround, and on the East Coast?
I think they should. Spreads BYU by 6. KenPom, 65% chance to win, margin of 4, ESPN BPI 66% chance to win. Keep an eye on the rebounding battle here. BYU, really good rebounding team, especially on the offensive glass. Providence is 10th in rebounding margin. So this is going to be one of those Kaba and Foos and everybody against Providence kind of battles. Like you said, long trip. They left Sunday morning, though, to make sure they were out there. 2 time zone, you leave a day earlier than you would, not just the day before. So I'm looking forward to this game on FS1 tonight. And can't wait for BYU to hopefully rack up a quality road win.
Quad two.
What does it look like? Yeah, right now, that's a quad two situation with Providence at 104.
BYU should win this game, and they should rely heavily on their veteran leadership. These are the types of games that Foos Traore and Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Trevin Nell and Dawson Baker win. They have been in it. They've played so much basketball. That is like the cohesive unit. And then, obviously, the incredible talent of Yegor Demian, among others, Cannon Catchings. You throw in Boscovich. The way he's shooting the ball right now, Jerem, how much confidence that guy's playing with. Sometimes irrational confidence.
Yeah, Deion Waiters, irrational Bill Simmons level.
Mihailo Boscovich is shooting the ball super well. And every game, he does something that makes me go, wow.
Right? The dunk.
Wow.
The up and under.
BYU is a more talented team, but in early season tough road contests, this is typically where you rely on your vets, and BYU has plenty of them right now to go and grind out a win. It'll probably be a little bit ugly and tough.
I don't care.
Just win. And I think they will.
Yeah. Yesterday, NBA draft analyst Kristen Peek posted this on X. After talking to over 40 NBA scouts and executives this past week, the general consensus is there are 4 players right now who could go number one in June in the NBA draft.
Not just Cooper Flagg?
This is not a Wemby draft, one scout said. Cooper Flagg of Duke, Dylan Harper of Rutgers, Ace Bailey of Rutgers, Moet Mag's teammates, by the way, Yegor Demian of BYU.
Excuse me?
And as of this morning, the Athletic's Sam Vecini had Yegor Demian as his number 2 prospect on his big board.
What?
Are you buying that he could go number 1?
The rhetoric around him this season has escalated so quickly that I am buying this.
I am too.
It has happened so fast. People are, and by people I mean NBA scouts and college basketball analysts, are enamored with Yegor, and they should be. How many guys can handle the ball the way that he can at 6'9", have the court vision that he has as an 18-year-old? Is he even 19 yet?
He'll be 19 in March.
Yeah. He's 18! But with his feel for the game, he has an NBA feel already. Yeah. I know that he's got to be developed some more. That's why he came to BYU. That's why he chose Kevin Young.
Spence, he could play in the NBA right now. He could do it right now.
Jerem, he's got the feel.
Yeah.
So I am buying this. Like we knew he was great. It's just fun to watch like everybody see him in America and like be like, whoa.
And he's only
special.
And this was after he was playing nobody. Then he played somebody. Ole Miss and NC State. We're going to see another somebody game
sure.
in Providence tonight.
Huge question mark for him was, can he shoot the three?
Oh, yeah.
Has he answered that question?
Struggled a bit in one of the games, right? Was it Ole Miss or NC State?
Overall,
but
it's been
like,
great.
Overall, he was like north of 50% as of last week. So, yeah, I'm buying it. Like, will he go number one? I don't know. Let's let this play out. I would, if I had to, bet on this, I would bet Cooper Flagg would probably be the guy.
Yeah.
But let's just see how it goes.
Amazing.
Because, honestly, it's not about number one. It's about top five, top 10. BYU needs to produce a lottery pick to entice other future lottery picks to come here because they see, oh, Kevin Young does develop them, and they get picked really high in the NBA draft. Now you can attract some of the top talent in the country, which BYU is.
Enjoy Yegor while he's playing at BYU. It might be a very short time.
People have talked about, maybe 2 years. What are you talking about? No. he is going to be gone,
maybe
dude.
If Cooper Flagg goes number one, maybe he wants to stick around so he can be number one pick the
I
next
want
year.
Him to be one and done. You want to produce these great players because then you attract more. This has not been a player where BYU's never produced a one and done right out of BYU. Sean Bradley was 2 years off the mission to the draft.
Kevin Young said Yegor's three-point shooting was the question mark, but he said he has surprised me and he surprised everybody else.
It's been awesome.
Our question of the day features a myriad of topics here. Frankly, we want to know where your attention as a BYU fan currently sits.
A lot going on.
What has your attention the most right now as a fan of BYU athletics? BYU football's bowl projections, college football playoff rankings, transfer portal season, BYU men's basketball at Providence tonight, / Yegor Demian.
Among others, right? Yeah.
There are other things happening too. Women's volleyball in the NCAA tournament. You can answer however you want. Right now, men's basketball at Providence tonight is winning the poll question with 44.7% of the vote. Probably because it's game day.
Yeah.
Right?
Speaking of, you can watch it, listen to it tonight at 8:30 Eastern, pregame at 7:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. FS1, BYU Radio. Tonight, Cougars and Friars from Providence, Rhode Island.
After the break, Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss BYU football's 10-2 season, his bowl game preference, and what he thinks about the transfer portal reveals that we just discussed. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Yeah, 4.5 wins. Cougars more than double that. They get to 10.
This might be the most impressive 10-win season ever in the history of BYU football.
This is the first time BYU has ever won 10 in a power conference.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. It's a game day for BYU men's basketball.
Ball night.
Woo!
Where's the custom t-shirt? This is a regular t-shirt.
Well, it's BYU basketball. You know, it says BYU basketball. So I went with a basketball theme thing, but it isn't custom.
Yeah.
To your point.
I was hoping for another one.
I got to work on that. Something with Yegor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll figure it out.
I'm on it.
Yeah,
we'll I'm on it. Out. Don't call me denim or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
You've got the creative juices flowing in my head now, Jerem.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Blaine's like, are we going to chat
hey,
about that? Yegor!
Blaine Fowler is joining us now over Zoom. He is our dual threat superstar analyst, football and basketball. Blaine, great to have you on the show. How are you this morning?
Good. I have my custom shirt on. I don't know. Can you guys see this one?
Yeah! 100 seasons of BYU football.
Oh, very cool.
Looks great.
There we go.
That's cool.
Look at you repping.
I should have worn my national championship ring, but I always forget.
I think it's getting polished right now, by the way. Which
yeah, and you know, it's it's my fingers are too fat anyhow, and it kind of gets stuck on there, and I have to use soap to get it off because I'm getting old and fat.
That or peanut butter or oil or whatever. I don't know.
Something.
Did want to ask you, Mike Holmgren's a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. BYU has Steve Young in there. Andy Reid's going to be in there one day. It'd be cool if Mike got in there. He was your quarterback coach, BYU. What does that mean to you that he's a finalist and could be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he should be. He is responsible, along with that group he was with at the Niners before he went and took that West Coast offense to the Packers and won Super Bowls. But he's one of the principal people in bringing the West Coast passing game to football. And he kind of honed his skills at BYU and was responsible for unbelievable offenses there. He and Norm Chow, and he goes to the Niners with Bill Walsh and that whole legacy there. And they take it to the next level. And he coaches Steve up for a couple of Super Bowls. Then he goes to Green Bay and makes Brett Favre into who he is and brings Andy Reid on board. I mean, if there's no Mike Holmgren, there's no Andy Reid, right? And then he goes to Seattle and takes a program that had been struggling, and then all of a sudden they're good and competing at the top of the NFL. So, yeah, Mike Holmgren belongs in the Hall of Fame, one of the great offensive minds in the history of the game, period, and somebody that changed the game in a big way, the way teams play offense in both college football and the NFL. So he absolutely deserves to be in. Plus, he is one unbelievable human being. My 4 years with Mike at BYU, I have unbelievable fond memories of – the family man that he is, he and Kathy, the way they raise their kids. He's an unbelievable human being. He absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. So he's in the Hall of Fame, in your opinion. We've been discussing whether we think BYU football as a team deserves to be at least in the conversation of the college football playoff and on the bubble, because right now they're off the bubble. BYU's not getting any significant national attention with their resume because they dropped two of the last three, Blaine, and they have limped to the finish, is what I heard from one national analyst. So, timing of the losses stinks, but are we rewarding a true team resume, or are we just looking at, well, how are they playing lately? How are you viewing BYU in the conversation of being a potential bubble team tonight when the college football playoff rankings come out?
Yeah, what do I expect and what do I think are two different things? I expect them to probably be just like they are in the AP poll at 17 on the outside looking in, which do I think that's fair? I don't, because I think you earn the right to be in that conversation based on a whole season's resume, strength of schedule. All these things that they talked about were factors to consider, and it's not just in the last couple weeks. You know, why does Miami get so much more respect? Now, we may find Miami tonight on the outside looking in, and I think we will. I think they'll be outside of that 12 now. But up to this point, you know, Miami, they've acted like Miami was a shoe-in. They talk about Clemson being in there. And I keep thinking, even now that the season's completed, BYU has a better resume than, or at least equal to Miami or Clemson. So I'll be interested to see where Miami is tonight when they release the rankings. And if Miami's in that top 12 and BYU's not, then I'm going to have a rant and I'm going to be not very happy.
Can't wait to hear it. Early signing day is tomorrow for football. What's the role of this now? Because it feels like with the transfer portal, you plug and play more veterans than you would any freshmen, and you try and develop. But if they don't play, they may transfer. What's the role of early signing day at this juncture with everything going on now?
This early signing day is obviously for high school guys, and I think BYU has some names that we're going to be excited about. But right now, this time of the season, what you really focus on as a coaching staff, especially after you've had the kind of year BYU has had, is we've got to recruit our own guys. So the guys that are currently young players in the system or established players in the system that have a year or two left of eligibility, everybody's going to be coming after these guys. There's multiple guys that they're, you know, that programs have taken note of that are going, man, this is a great young player in BYU's program. They could add something to us. So it's re-recruiting your own guys. Talk about culture, talking about what can be next year, talking about taking it to the next level and being in the college football playoff next year. Those types of things. So to me, the more important focus is, are there going to be a few guys that we're going to go, oh, that's great. But the more important focus is, who do they keep that they want to keep? You know, we're going to see some transfers where we're just going to go, yeah, that's okay. which is kind of the ones we've heard about so far. It's like, yeah, that's okay. That's good for them. That they need to go do that. But to me, that's a more important focus right now, is the recruiting of our own guys to keep them in the program during this open transfer portal time.
Blaine Fowler, again, on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, as we talk about recruiting and bringing back players and continuity, I know there are some things out there floating around about BYU's coaches maybe being picked off because, frankly, Blaine, they've been really, really good. So what do you expect as you look at the entirety of this staff moving forward? And is there any way that BYU can keep all of them because they have been good?
I mean, I think there's a chance. The one that everybody's talking about is Jay Hill. And Jay is in such a good situation at BYU. And I recognize that everybody's talking about him in that Utah State job. And how do I think Jay would be at Utah State? I think he'd be phenomenal. Like, I think he's like the perfect person for the job. But having said that, Jay knows what it would take for him to be able to turn that thing around and have it be successful and really, really good. And I know that he's not going to go there without a huge ask on facility upgrades, dollars for NIL, dollars for assistant coaches. You know, for him, it's way more than, hey, I just need a payday, because he knows that he has to be successful there. And I'm not sure that Utah State's in a position that they can do all those things that he wants them to do, and it may not be as attractive as people think because of that. And he loves this situation here. And keep in mind that this 10-2 season and being the number one team in total defense and scoring defense in the Big 12, that is huge. So he's in the spotlight for a lot of things. And they've got an unbelievable core of really good young players coming back next year on defense. They got to retool that defensive line a little bit because of graduation. But everybody else is coming back for the most part, at least guys that have played a bunch. You know, they lose corners, but they got really, really talented young corners coming back that played a bunch this year. The safeties are intact. The linebackers are intact. They have a chance to go out and be the number one total defense and number one scoring defense again next year, and a schedule that looks like it sets up a little bit better for BYU. And if they can repeat what they did this year, which is possible, then all of a sudden Jay Hill's not – you're not talking about Utah State. You're talking about a P4 job as a head coach. I think that that is possible. So all of that goes into the thought process. And in the end, I think Jay Hill stays here and builds this thing with Kalani and has even better opportunities down the road.
The run game, the O-line, that was all huge for BYU this year, Jake Retzlaff's development, but the defense helped BYU a ton with short fields and takeaways. Number one with 20 interceptions, are you kidding me? Jay Hill's been arguably the MVP of this season. It's been awesome. Let's talk hoops. Yegor Demin getting top five buzz, game at Providence tonight. What's top of mind for you with BYU men's basketball?
This is just another chance against elevated competition from a really good power league. To take the show on the road and to hone down what needs to be a shorter lineup, you know, maybe 9, maybe 10. They've been playing up to 13, right? To have a chance to look at the combinations that work best on the floor and to get better. I loved this split down there, and they had every opportunity. They had the ball in the lead at Ole Miss, a game they should have won. But what a great learning opportunity, right? And this is the time to learn. The talent level at BYU is the best it's ever been. And now that talent needs to gel as a team, to understand each other. I like the progress so far. This is just one more opportunity to do that. I expect them to win at Providence tonight. I do. And you guys had a big segment on Yegor just before I came on. I watched that whole segment. And he is just, frankly, every single game that I watch, the best player on the floor, including Ole Miss, including North Carolina State. He'll be the best player on the floor tonight against North Carolina State. And they surrounded him with other really talented, good players and a group of core guys that are talented with experience. This BYU team's, I don't know if I'm going to say they're going to surprise people because people understand the talent level they have, but this league is so good. And I think they're going to finish a lot higher in this league than people think. And Providence is another opportunity to go out and to gel and to learn how to play better together as a team and to continue to get better.
You want to talk BYU basketball and BYU football? Best of both worlds, Blaine Fowler is your man to do that. By the way, can't wait to watch you on After Further Review tonight. Blaine, thanks for the time today.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff we're going to cover tonight. So make sure you tune in, everybody. 5 o'clock Mountain.
Let's go. Blaine Fowler on BYU Sports Nation. Thanks, Blaine.
Thanks, guys.
As mentioned, 7 Eastern, the season finale of After Further Review. Dave, Blaine, David. on the BYU TV app as they wrap it up with the win against Houston, 10-2 regular season.
After the break, BYU coaches and players from multiple sports receiving notable recognition. Details on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It feels like a good time to roll out your headlines.
The penultimate, that means second to last, college football playoff rankings release show is tonight at 7 Eastern on ESPN. BYU was ranked number 19 in last week's rankings. The final college football rankings will be released Sunday when I'm in Sunday school. I'll be paying attention to that as well.
Multitask.
What is that? You decide.
BYU safety Talon Alfrey named the Big 12 co-special teams player of the week after returning an onside kick for a touchdown against Houston on Saturday night.
So awesome.
Alfrey joins Will Farron and Parker Kingston as the third Cougar to be dubbed Big 12 special teams player of the week. And senior offensive lineman Connor Pay named one of four finalists for the Pop Warner College Football Award, given to a senior football player who has shown leadership on the field, in the classroom, and in the community, and serves as a role model to Pop Warner young student athletes.
Wide receiver Cody Epps, safety Micah Harper, running back Miles Davis, and tight end Jackson Bowers announced they have entered the transfer portal.
BYU men's basketball on the road tonight at Providence. East Coast road trip in the Big 12 Big East battle. Tip-off set for 8:30 Eastern on FS1 and live on BYU Radio. Cougar Yegor Demin ranked as the number two prospect on the Athletic Sam Vecenie's big board that he released this morning, behind only Duke's Cooper Flagg.
Enjoy watching this dude play basketball. It's awesome, man. Men and women's cross country head coaches Ed Eystone and Diljit Taylor were named National Cross Country Coaches of the Year yesterday by the USTFCCCA after leading BYU to national championships this season.
BYU men's volleyball released their schedule for the 2025 season just a few moments ago. The Cougars opened the season on Friday, January 3rd at The Ohio State.
Bring it.
Other notable matches include a pair of home contests against both Hawaii and Stanford. We'll discuss all of the schedule next segment with the one and only head coach of the Cougars, Sean Olmstead.
I hope BYU wins at Ohio State and plants a flag on the court. That'd be weird, but I just hope they do it.
Just no mace.
Pepper spray! And women's volleyball returns to the top 25 AVCA poll at number 24. They've only been out once. It was last week since 2013. The end of it. The Cougars play Loyola Chicago in the first round of the NCAA tournament this Thursday, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
My spidey senses tell me they didn't like being unranked.
Right? We'll show you Kansas!
Showed up and played their best ball. Hey, Mike Holmgren, we just talked about him with Blaine Fowler, has been selected as a coach finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame Class of 2025, announced by the Pro Football Hall of Fame this morning. Holmgren, a quarterback coach from BYU from 1982 to 1985, notably coaching Steve Young and Robbie Bosco when the Cougars won that national championship.
Holmgren's my dude. BYU and Seahawks, let's go, man. Early National Signing Day is coming up tomorrow. Kind of snuck up on us, didn't it? Tomorrow we got Kalani Sitake. It's going to be awesome on the program. We'll tell you who BYU signs the next crop of Cougs tomorrow on BYU Sports.
How has this special season impacted recruiting? We'll find out. Still on the way, as promised, BYU men's volleyball head coach Sean Olmstead breaks down the 2025 schedule. This is BYU Sports Nation.
He's always got good swag. What's he wearing today?
Ooh.
Oh my!
He did to Taylor. Who fetched it? And now Ramanis is the Pac-Man
from Tyler Hergen.
Now Taylor with the solo block. Benson deep shot into the middle of the court.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B and are about to break down the brand new BYU men's volleyball schedule and do so with one of our all-time favorites. The head coach of the Cougars, Sean Olmstead, is back in the Cougar Council Room. Rocking some sweet swag. Cougars run the state of Utah,
there
Sean.
Go. There we go.
There's
especially
no
men's volleyball.
There's no greater team in Utah than BYU in men's volleyball.
So there you go. Yeah.
That's fresh stuff. Hey, we got the schedule now.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, let's break it down. So at Ohio State is a fun, you've kind of been playing them over the years, which is great. Kind of a newish team, D2, St. Thomas Aquinas at home, at Ball State, at UC Irvine. I know you and Niff want to play all the time, which is great. Yeah. Hawaii coming to Provo, Sean.
Yes.
Hawaii is going to be awesome. Great. UCSB at Concordia, that's a conference game. Barry. Who, the show on Max that I watched with
Great. Not that one.
Nope, they're D2 from Florida. USC at home. Havid on a Saturday and a Monday at GCU, the Trent Mosier series. Stanford, which is the Gant Bowl with the two brothers, at UCLA, home Pepperdine, MPSF tourney. What do you make of this schedule? Because it looks like another good one.
Yeah, I think another really good one. And as I look and I've discussed with our guys, it's a tough schedule. And as you look at the other schedules kind of coming out over like the last week to 2 weeks, everyone's been kind of releasing right now. Man, it might be one of the more tougher schedules. And I'm excited about that. We're going to start off at Ohio State. That was a unique opportunity because they're hosting the national championship this year. And the national championship has been moved back a week. So you're going to see a lot of teams. In fact, my coaches, we were sharing in our group text another schedule that came out. I think it was maybe Loyola's came out sometime today or yesterday. So we share it, and they're starting a week. You're going to see a lot of teams not even playing that weekend that are starting later just because now the championship's back. But Ohio State reached out to me, and I said, hey, we want to do it. The only time they could do it was that weekend. Literally, it was the last weekend they had available. Because everyone else wants to play there, too, in hopes that they'll be there.
Yeah.
So it was like, Sean, this is the only week of the whole year we can do it. And I said, lock us in. Let's go. Whereas we might have started a little later. Then we've got to go on the road to Ball State. That's a really, really good team. A wonderful program of history and tradition. Donan's doing a phenomenal job there. Christian Rupert's there, an assistant coach.
Yes.
So it's nice to see him. And then we've got to go to Irvine. We just played Irvine down in St. George. And like the community came out. It was like a full high school gym. It was awesome. The experience, hang out there with those guys and that team. And they're really, really good. They've returned most of those guys that they had on that champion, you know, that Final Four team last year. And we've got to play them twice. And we've got to go to Irvine and have a mid, you know, in the middle of our road trip, have a day off. It's rough, but we got to do it. You know, but no, I mean, that's going to be tough. And then we, of course, we've got Hawaii here. We've got a good Santa Barbara's always scrappy, always good. And then we've got our conference that we've got to go on the road to UCLA.
Yep.
On the road to
GCU.
GCU.
Lost a lot of weapons, but a good program.
Yeah, absolutely. And Worley's doing an awesome job there.
Absolutely.
And so we've got to go on the road to those teams, you know, UCLA. GCU. I mean, it's not a walk in the park. I really believe this is one of the tougher schedules that any team in men's volleyball. There's a couple others that stood out, but the rest of them, I think our schedule is going to be tougher than most.
Sean, clearly you control a lot of this, and
sure.
You push for a lot of this. So why seek out the more difficult schedule this year? What is the hope in doing so?
Yeah, I mean, it's important that I put our guys in a position that we as a team get ourselves in a position where we can ideally be playing our best volleyball at the end of the season. That's what it comes down to. I don't think there's any volleyball team that's going to have an undefeated season. I don't know when we're ever going to see that, right? And you want to be tested. I want to be tested on the road.
99 tried.
99 was,
and
unfortunately, they got convinced to play a match in the Marriott Center.
Which you will never do.
Because then they did it, what, 2 or 3 years later, and I was there, and we lost.
It didn't go well.
Yep, so we've never won at the Marriott Center, so no thank you. You know, I mean, basketball, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to outshine
people
you guys.
People ask me, and I'm like, Sean's not going to do it. No.
But no, it's, so you're going to go battle. You're going to go, you got to go on the road. I like it. And, We put ourselves in a position where we've got to see what we're made of. And a lot of coaches, I think every coach is unique in their approach. I like to play new teams. I like to do my best to promote men's volleyball. I'm going to continue to do that every year. And then I'm going to continue to go, hey, some, you know, the best teams want to play. Okay, are we going to your place this year? Are you coming to us? And I'll openly admit I'm not the coach that's really methodical about how they go through the RPI, the this, the that. I'm always open on those calls that, I want to play against good teams. I enjoy playing with the coaches that are great to me and to us, and it goes both ways where, hey, we got you. We can shake hands and we're there and we can count on each other to do that. I put a lot into that. And, so we're going to go out and see what we're made of.
The game continues to grow mostly among Division II. So you're playing St. Thomas Aquinas, you're playing Barry, you've gone to Mount Olive in North Carolina, home of pickles.
Yeah. One of the greatest games ever.
Right?
Ever.
Right? It was awesome.
And everyone will say that. Davide, Gabby, those guys that were part of it.
They loved it.
That have played even at a sold-out Stan Sheriff. Dude, coach,
Mount Olive. Yep.
It was unreal.
It was unreal. It was awesome. Great stories from there. Menlo and Vanguard are added to the MPSF this year, two D2 teams. But you weren't obligated to play them, apparently?
Yeah. So they're trying to find out the perfect kind of scheduling arrangement. And so it was kind of unique how they did it. And so we next year, for example, it's kind of this going to be this changing this cycle of next year. We may not play Concordia very likely, but we're going to have to play Menlo. And then the next year would be not Menlo and then Vanguard.
Some rotation, but not everybody.
And we can add it. We can always add, but we're not obligated. So I wanted to add. I want to help those teams. I want to grow those teams. But it's just, you've got to work it out amongst all the other things. And I'd love to play all of our conference opponents because I want to promote the MPSF. I want to give them an opportunity to promote their programs. Being new men's volleyball, why not? Why not get them there with you? You get the Star Wars, you get rolling, rocking, and they're now. They go from, who's Menlo or Vanguard, to go, boom, we know them. Jeremy talked about them.
That's mainly Steve's job, but yes.
Well, yes, you and Steve.
Shout out to Steve.
Dad, coach.
We thought expansion was just college football. No, it's in
MPSF. No. It's not limited just to college football. Yeah. Dad, coach of BYU men's volleyball, Sean Olmstead, is on BYU Sports Nation. As you look at your roster and your team, where are you hoping to take the biggest step forward from a skill set perspective this year?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to, as you were proposing that, throwing out that question, I immediately, before you finished, thought, our biggest step forward, what I would hope is our biggest step forward, is some good depth so that we can, whatever the circumstances be in a match where we want to give guys other opportunities or we may need guys.
Yeah.
I like our depth pretty much across the board. So I believe that we can get out there. We can start with this rotation, and I believe there's going to be moments. Every volleyball match, there's substitutions. There's got to be. And so I believe that it's a lot better and deeper and stronger than we've had in years past, actually. Depth top to bottom. So there's a lot of excitement there. And,
I like all of that.
Veteran group, super excited about it. Yeah,
very excited.
All right, Sean, as you close out things, how are you viewing just the overall state of BYU athletics right now? In 30 seconds, what's happening with BYU athletics?
See how you did the 30 seconds? You know that I have a tendency to go, no. Honestly, it's very, very exciting to be a part of all this. Like, we can't deny that. Look at the energy, the excitement, and just to think that we as a men's volleyball program get to be this small part of everything. You got cross country, like, are you kidding me? And Ed Eystone wins, Diljit wins. We've got basketball doing what they're doing. We've got Kalani and the football team with their program. We've got Heather going to NCAA tournament. I mean, it's wild. And so we're just grateful to be a part. Honestly, the gratitude for the fans, like the community, the excitement there, it's unreal. And it is every year, but it does seem to be, a little stronger, the energy, the excitement. It's great to have the president we have. Shane is amazing, and he knows volleyball. He studied volleyball in depth, and so, but he supports everybody, and he's right there by our side. Tom, Brian, Liz, can't say enough about, just the energy and excitement. It's a new world that we're all trying to navigate, and there's no doubt it's going to be ups and downs there, kind of the bumps and twists and turns, but I think we'll all figure it out.
Sean, great to have you on the show. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
man.
Sean.
Can't wait.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
All right, after the break, put a bow on the show with our elite voice of the day and a rising shout out. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our poll question of the day. What has your attention most right now as a BYU fan? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevate from Tyson Peter, 84653 on X says, I'd like to know what bowl game to buy tickets for. Fair question.
We'll find out no later than Sunday.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Ed Eyestone, Dilge Taylor, National Coaches of the Year.
Thanks to today's guests. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. See you for AFR at 7 Eastern. Go Cougs.